Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is actually from Bulgaria, and he's calling me from Bulgaria. His name is Nikola Dimitrov. He has written a new book by Nordskog Publishing called The Four-in-One Gospel of Jesus. This is chronologically integrated according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This book, by the way, is endorsed by N.T. Wright and also William J. Murray and even me. So, Dr. Dimitrov or Reverend Dimitrov, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Not Dr. Dimitrov, just Reverend Dimitrov or Nikola.
Do you mind, before we get into the content and discuss the book, could you just give us very, very briefly a word about your own personal background? Because when you grew up, Bulgaria would have been atheist communist, and so somewhere along the line you became born again and became a Christian. Can you tell us about that briefly?
Yes. Bulgaria was communistic for about 45 years until 1989. At that time, 1989, I was about 17 or so. So I believed in the Lord 2 years after the fall of communism, when the so-called democracy came and when the foreign preachers, especially from America and from South America, flooded the country and started doing big crusades. So I am the first fruit of those here in Bulgaria, along with a large number of other people, of course.
Wow. Do you remember who it was preaching, by any chance?
Oh, no. It was some 25 years ago.
Oh,
I didn't
okay.
know the preachers, but South America, Argentina, Peru, stuff like that, plus American preachers.
Sure. All right, so now, fast forward to today, you've put together this book, very impressive, and I want to ask you, what was it that caused you to want to write this book in the first place?
Well, as soon as I became born again, there was this urge in me from the first moment I read the four Gospels of Jesus in the Bible. I noticed immediately that there are some repetitions when you read one and after that the other and after that the third and the fourth. So the idea somehow came to me almost immediately, and when I began to think about it, it was lingering in my spirit for, let's say, a year or two. And during that time, I thought about it a lot and saw two main benefits of writing such a book. First, evangelism, because at least to my experience, whenever I have given a Bible as a present to an unbelieving relative or friend, I knew for a fact that they won't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John one right after another. But I said, why not do one story of the life of Jesus, which depicts the whole life of Jesus from the four Gospels without missing something and without adding something, and do it in a novel format. And in this way, it can be used as an evangelical tool.
Sure.
And my second thought before I started doing it was, I had read many books at the time because I was trying to form my Christian opinion. So I read a lot of books from a lot of authors in different denominations and different backgrounds, and I saw that some people would claim that the Bible, especially the Gospels, were inaccurate because they couldn't be accurate, since in some cases they kind of say the opposite. So this was my second reason for undertaking this project, to prove that not only the four Gospels do not contradict each other, but actually they complement each other in a beautiful way. So these were my two reasons.
Sure. And not only that, it's the idea that they contradict themselves or they contradict each other is often said, but the reality is like this. The big facts are there. then the little details may differ from the different perspectives, but that only adds to its credibility, actually, as opposed to removing its credibility. If four people were, let's say, at a certain intersection and they all saw the same car accident, and then the police takes down the descriptions of, from all four people, there will be minor differences in the in what may have transpired, but the big story is all the same. This car hit that car from this angle, you know, et cetera. And so it is. We see that the gospel writers did not collude. Now, I went through the book last night. I was looking through it, different passages. Interesting to me, very fascinating the way you put it out, and I think perhaps the best way to focus on this is to first of all find out the kind of the rules that you used as you were undertaking the whole project, number one, and then number two, we can take an example in the resurrection appearances. But let's begin with the rules. What was the methodology by which you approached this topic?
Okay, the methodology, when the idea came to me, I started reading about it online and trying to order some books and encyclopedias and other materials that could help me form the picture of how exactly to do that. And I found out that there are some very worthy materials which are in the form of a chart or a form of a table. Like, for example, Matthew Henry's Tabular Harmony of the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
It just lists all the verses in a chart format. Also, the Orthodox Bible that we have here translated in Bulgaria has a similar chart. I found other encyclopedias and university study Bibles that had similar things. So I gathered some material. This is for the chronological part.
Mm-hmm.
I also took several New Testaments, and I took apart, naturally, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, put them in four different sections, and reading and comparing all the charts of every encyclopedia and every harmony that I could find, and read about it, and also using my own logic and, of course, lots of prayer, because this took me about 8 years to do.
Wow.
Every day, little by little, word for word. I didn't want to miss any comma even. So I just want to say that in this 4-in-1 Gospel of Jesus, the text is entirely from the Gospels. There is nothing taken out and nothing added, just mixed chronologically and contextually. So this is for the chronology. I have just used materials that are credible, sources that are that people recommend and that people like, so I could be most secure. And concerning the contextual part, this was the tricky part, and it took, again, a lot of prayer and determination. But also it is a mathematical job, because the contextual use is to just take one of the Gospels. Whenever there is a story which is shared in more than one of the Gospels, I would take one of them, usually Mark, because Mark mm-hmm. is also chronological.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew gathers stories and events for deductive purposes, and it's not very chronological. Luke is also chronological, but it has a lot of proverbs and other stuff, which, again, sometimes mixes the order and makes it hard to know which is first and which second. John, everybody knows it's entirely different. It has his own story. So Luke is the one that is the most chronological from
you mean
the
Mark.
Beginning till the end. So
you mean Mark?
Mark,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sorry, Mark.
Sure, and but let me just stop you. Let me stop you for a second. Mark is, by all accounts in the early church, Mark is the reflections of Peter. So Peter, who was really the leader of the disciples, it's his, in a sense, it's his gospel. I mean, it's not, you know, obviously it doesn't have his name. There is, in fact, there's a false gospel of the Gnostics, the gospel according to Peter, that comes centuries
yes.
later, but that's not to be confused with the gospel of Mark, which is really great. Okay, so Are you basically finished with that? Because I have enough time that I want to ask you about one specific example. Is that all right? We can get right into it. After Jesus rose from the dead, when we look at the Gospels and we see the interplay between the angels and Mary and the other women that Mary had with her, sometimes it gets a little confusing. And on page 253, you lay this out using a drawing from Matthew Henry and also from the Orthodox Bible. Here's what you say. Now I'm going to quote on these things and then you just go ahead and comment afterwards. Okay. You ready? One, early in the morning, Mary Magdalene visits the tomb with some other women. They enter in and see that the body of Jesus is not there. Two, Mary Magdalene runs to tell Peter and John while the other women remain at the tomb and experience the two angels who tell them Jesus has risen. So they are to go and tell the disciples. The women leave the tomb and on their way to the disciples, they see Jesus. Mary Magdalene couldn't have been with them because when she goes to Peter and John, she tells them somebody has taken the Lord and she has no idea where they put him. Moreover, when she sees Jesus before recognizing him, she thinks he is the gardener. So at that point, she couldn't have seen the angels the other women saw, or she would know Jesus had risen. Three, when the other women leave the tomb, Mary Magdalene arrives with Peter and John. They both see the tomb empty and return home while Mary stays and see Jesus. She then goes to the disciples too, and along with the other women, they tell the disciples. I like the way you put that because it helps to clarify the little details, and it's hard sometimes to figure that out. Now, most of the book, by the way, I should say this for the listener, most of the book is not like what I just read. I just read Nikola Dimitrov's words describing the events. Most of the book itself is actual scripture from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John from the Authorized King James Version, and so that's what you have. But it helps to explain some of these, if you will, seeming little contradictions, or, you know, how does this work? What's the order here? Your comment on that passage?
Yes, that's the reason why I made several appendix sections in the book with explanations and similar scriptures and whatnot, in order for the people that want to study this deeper, they can do that. So this is one such example. I should say from the start that this passage that you now read my explanation about was the most difficult one. In my work all these years, and even when the guys from Nordkog Publishing saw that passage, they also had interest pretty much on it in a great depth and detail. So we discussed that with them too. We checked the charts again. We checked the tables. We contacted even some pastors and other theologians to give their opinion with several of the people there. So this is what we combined, came to conclusion that is the only logical explanation of the events of the resurrection, unless there is something that is not written there. But this is the only way it can work all the way.
All right. So, go ahead. And the book is divided into 31 chapters. All of these different chapters are different sections in the life of Jesus Christ. So, for example, chapter 31 deals with the resurrection day. Chapter 30 deals with Jesus going to Calvary. Chapter 29 begins with Jesus taken to Pilate, etc. So you have an overview of the whole thing. Well, we have 30 seconds to close. What would you like to say in conclusion on the 4-in-1 gospel of Jesus?
Well, I would like to say that this is a great material for every leader, pastor, Bible teacher, preacher, and also for every person who loves the Word of God and wants to know more the story of the life of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and every history lover even, because it became like a document, but in a novel format.
Sure. Okay, Nikola Dimitrov, thank you so much for joining us. The name of the book, The 4-in-1 Gospel of Jesus, and Nordskog, NORDSKOG, NordskogPublishing.com for more information. That's the website. Thank you, Reverend Dimitrov.
Thank you very much.
God bless you now.
Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless you too.